Skull of the Ministry is one of those things that happened out of last year's vision with Heart for His House. Heart for His House weekend's coming in just a few weeks. I hope that you begin to prepare yourself now, and you're going to be hearing the vision over the next coming weeks in regards to what God has in store for 2018 here at North, okay? How about revival? Come on, how about it? It's been amazing, hasn't it? Come on, Thursday night, packed house. Friday night, packed house. Come on, Saturday night, packed house. Lives being changed. Now we're Sunday, 8:30. Come on, God's good, isn't He? We got Guthrie right now joining us. Guthrie, I am pumped about what God is doing there. Come on, isn't God good? All of our locations, Freedom House. Yeah. And today, you're going to hear an incredible message in just a moment from our guest. I'll introduce him, and then you're going to hear from another guest a little bit later today. And so every experience is going to be a different experience, a different message. Get ready. Get your notes out. Today, right now, you're about to hear from Chetwin Pete, who delivered an amazing message at the 5 o'clock Saturday night experience. Go listen to those messages, all of them online, available, and go check them out. And I was inspired, challenged, and there was many lives changed because of the message. The Word of God is the one thing that we value around here. When we sing the songs we're singing, you know what we're singing? We're singing the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that will not return void. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God remains for what? Ever. So Chetwin Pete is about to bring the message, the word for the hour. And, of course, you got to hear and see his beautiful wife, Whitney, who is spunky, beautiful, and fun. We've really enjoyed being around her. And you got to see a pic of his amazing two boys, the twins, who are just absolutely adorable. But he is AKA known as Chet. And I got to just break that down real quick as far as what it meant for me and what I believe you're going to get today. Because you see, the C in Chet stands for challenge. He's going to challenge you with God's word today. Are you ready to receive the challenge of God's word? The H is for help you, okay? He's going to help you because he's going to give you God's word. And when you get God's word, you get a sword to fight the battles with. He's also going to point you to the power of the Holy Spirit, which is going to be the helper inside of you that's going to help you through whatever you're facing in life. And also, E, you're going to be encouraged today because you're going to be equipped with God's word. You're going to be built up in faith and encouraged. And lastly, triumph. Because you know what? When the word of God comes, we receive it in our heart. We leave away victors, triumph over any tragedy, struggle, and trials that we may face in life. So I want you right now, come on, at all locations, to stand to your feet, not for just the speaker, but for the word of God that's about to come forth that's going to change our life. Would you do it right now as Chetwin Pete comes to preach the word of God?
Hello, North Church. What an amazing introduction. I appreciate that. Now, don't you love your pastor? Don't you love your pastor? Look at what God has done in the 15 years of this ministry. A vision birthed in a living room. And so many lives have been changed. I thank God for your pastor. I heard this quote that says, "You can tell the strength of a man by the smile on his wife's face." And spending some time with them, I mean, I haven't seen Miss Shannon stop smiling. So I believe that God has given you an amazing man of God. And what I'd like to do, if you all could stretch your hands towards Pastor Rodney right now, I'd love to take a moment just to pray for him. Lord, that the next 15 years, God, are going to be so much greater. God, you haven't seen what you plan to do in his life. God, right now we lift him up. We bind anything that comes against him in the name of Jesus. Right now, God, more vision, Lord, more word, God, that you would continue to lead him and guide him, to direct him to what you're calling this church to. We thank you, God, and we believe that it's done. We bless his wife right now. We lift her up, that she will continue to walk out the calling that you have on her life, that she would grow in confidence, she would grow in boldness, that God, that so many women and people of this church will be blessed because of her ministry. God, we love you and we thank you, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Before you go to your seat, look at your neighbor and say, are you going somewhere? Say, can I go with you? All right, you can be seated. You can be seated. Who's excited about the word of God this morning? As Pastor Rodney said, my beautiful wife is here with me. We flew all the way from Charlotte, North Carolina. We will be celebrating 10 years of marriage this January. I'm excited about it. And we do. We have identical twin boys, Carson and Carter. You'll see a picture of them on the screens. See, that's how they get you. Just like that. That's how they get you. But you mess with them, you don't feed them on time, they'll turn on you real quick and you'll get this. You'll get this real quick. Real quick. How do they go from being so jovial and smiling and to this? Anybody have kids that know they're sour patch sometimes? But I thank God for my babies. I'm missing them. We'll be able to see them today. But I'm excited about God's word. We're going to be in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Are you note takers? You note takers? I believe that when you take notes, you're saying that I don't want to leave the word of God in this building. I want to take it with me because I don't know how my Monday is going to be. I don't know how my Tuesday is going to be. And I'm praying that God will give me a word that I can take with me that I'll be able to come back to. So Mark chapter 10. Verses 46 through 52, we're going to read this. It says, then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples together, a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. I believe that I'm sitting in a room full of people that God have called. Jesus stopped and called him. God is calling you to something. And then it says, so they called to the blind man. Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Let me pray for us. God, I just come to you saying thank you. Thank you for this moment that we have in your presence, God. I pray right now that your people will be attentive to hear what you would have for them to hear, God. Lord, that they won't leave the same. That, Lord, you would give them the word that they need to change some things in their lives, to be able to jumpstart them into the places that you've called them to go. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Thank God. Amen. Amen. When I read this story, I think that this story is much more than just about a blind man receiving his sight, but a man sitting on the roadside, and by the end of the story, ended up following Jesus along the road. I believe that you're going somewhere. And I believe that there's so many things in our lives that will keep us sitting by the roadside. And God is calling us to the road. And if you have passion, it's about perseverance. That in order to go to where God's calling you, it's perseverance. You're going to have to fight through some things. When I think of passion, I think of Russell Westbrook. I think that's probably the most passionate player in the NBA. Now, he's not my favorite, but he's very, very passionate. He's very passionate. The title of my sermon is called Safe and Sound. Safe and Sound. The term safe and sound has been used for many years, hundreds and hundreds of years. And this term is used that at the end of a journey, that you make it safe and sound, meaning that you make it without any cuts, blemishes, no accidents, that everything will be okay, that you will be whole at the end of your journey. Anybody ever been in a car accident? It's a terrifying experience. My first car accident happened on my first Father's Day. So it's Father's Day. Our boys are almost, they'll be two, they'll almost be a year. They'll almost be, they were born in July, so it was the following year. And we went home to see our family, and we're enjoying time with family. And we went to church that Sunday, got back home, and we were eating some really good food. And does anybody know what the itis is? The itis, do you know? I'll educate you if you don't know what the itis is, because I'm sure you've had it. And the itis is pretty much after you've eaten so good, and it's, I'm talking like some good food, like maybe some barbecue or, you know, maybe some macaroni and cheese and some things like that. And then after you eat, you ate so much that you're tired and exhausted, and you start to sit down, and the couch seems to be pulling you in. That's called the itis, where you feel like you just can't get up. That's called the itis. And so I had got to that place, and I needed to be delivered from the itis. And my mom was looking at me. She was like, hey, you need to get on the road, Chet. You need to get on the road. And I'm like, yeah, we'll get on the road in a little bit. But, you know, I'm enjoying myself. I'm enjoying the itis right now. I'm very comfortable. And she's like, no, I need you to get on the road before, you know, it starts to get dark. And so I was like, okay, Mom, we'll go ahead and we'll get on the road. So we hop in the car and we load the boys up, and we're on the road driving. And I put in the GPS because I knew I was going to probably, it's probably going to start getting dark. And so it did. It got dark. I waited too long. And so I put in the GPS to make it home. And the GPS took us on the interstate. And then it told us that it's a quicker route if we jumped on this highway. So I said, all right, let's get home quicker. And so I jumped on this highway. Two deer run out into the road. The first deer, I swerved and missed it. The second deer, I swerved and hit the second deer. And the momentum of my car and the deer actually took our wheel and bent it on its side. And we tried to swerve out of it and end up landing right in the middle of the median, right before we went on into ongoing traffic. And it was terrifying. It was one of those moments that, you know, time felt like it was standing still. I can remember my wife just screaming, just like this scream, just, ah! You know, and it's quiet all around, but I hear her voice just screaming, ah! And we stop, and she's still screaming, ah! So I take a deep breath, and I turn around, and I say, hey, are you okay? She said, yes, I'm fine. I don't know why I'm screaming. Everybody's good. So I get out the car, and I see the damage. I can see what's done to our car, and then I can see the deer in the middle of the road, and I begin to just thank God for his protection while we were on the road. But I'll tell you this. I never, ever wanted to drive that highway again. I never wanted to get on that road again because my mind thought about what I would encounter while I was on the road. Now, every time I drive at night, I'm looking around for deer on the side of the road. Even if I'm in the middle of the city, I'm like, there might be a deer that will run out. I believe that there's some people like Bartimaeus that are stationary. You're stuck because of the fear of what you might encounter on the road. God is calling you from the roadside to the road. There's some things that he's calling you to. You're stuck. I believe that God wants to get you from this stationary place. There's some places that he's calling you to, and you're stuck there. What are the things that you're afraid of that's keeping you from going after the things that God has called you to? That's trying to keep you from the road. Are you sitting by the roadside and God has called you to the road? Today we're going to talk about a few things that you might encounter as you're trying to go after what God's called you to. A few things that I feel like fear rises up and it zaps the passion and you don't want to persevere to go what God's called you to. The first thing I'm going to talk about we find in verse 47. We're going to talk about the rebukes. We want to talk about the rebukes. At verse 47, this is what it says. It says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. I thought it was funny that immediately after he started to call for Jesus, he started to be rebuked. Be quiet. Sit there. Shut up. That once you take a step towards God, it seems like automatically things start coming against you and you start to be rebuked. People start talking about you. Do I have anybody that's been talked about that maybe in school, nobody has anything nice to say? I think sometimes as Christian, we get surprised that we start to get rebuked, but we serve a Jesus that was rebuked and that was, so why are we surprised? When I looked at this, I wanted to learn from Bartimaeus because as you can see, he continued to persevere. He continued to persevere through this. You know, when I asked my wife to marry me, we were very young. We both were 21 years old, and I don't advise that for everybody at 21, but God had made a way. He did. Yes, God. Those first couple years. But I remember asking her to marry me, and immediately I'm thinking, everybody is going to be just as excited as my wife is. Everybody. They're going to be excited. You know, I remember when I asked her the ring that I could afford, I gave to her, and she loved it. And the smile on her face lit up. So I thought everybody that I told, I would get that same reaction. I'm getting married. I love my wife. And we started to get rebuked. Y'all are too young. You don't have any money. Is she pregnant? No! I can't just love her. I want to get married. Like, over and over again, we would get rebuked. And I didn't understand it. But let's learn from Bartimaeus. Let's look at verses 48 and 49. It says, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he did what? He shouted all the more. He didn't stop. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man. Cheer up on your feet. He's calling you. Hold on, it looked to me like the same ones that were rebuking him were the same ones that helped him when Jesus called him. The rebukers become servants when God calls you. When somebody rebukes you, simply tell them thank you. Just say thank you. Say, I appreciate it. You know, hey, you want to talk about me? You're going to be a part of my testimony. You want to rebuke me? You're going to be a part of my restoration. You want to rebuke me? Simply tell him thank you. Say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What's funny is that a lot of times it's not just others that we have to worry about rebuking us. Sometimes it's ourselves. Sometimes we talk to ourselves far worse than anybody else could ever. My wife, over the last few years while we've been married, my wife battled a lot of negative thoughts that were constantly attacking her mind. If anybody talked to my wife the way that she talked to herself, I would be in jail right now. I would be in jail right now. And I didn't understand how she could rebuke herself that way. It got so bad where she could look in the mirror and she would tell herself that she wouldn't accomplish anything, that she wasn't great, and I couldn't understand. So then we had to give it a name. We actually went through counseling. We wanted to figure this out, to work through this. And we had to give this voice, this person, a name because I knew it wasn't her. So we gave it a name. We called her. I apologize if there's somebody with this name in here. I apologize right now, but this is just what we use. We named her Agatha. We named her Agatha. We named her Agatha. And Agatha has an annoying, negative, just Nancy voice. And you just hate her. You just, and so anytime that she would start to speak to herself like that, I'm like, is that Agatha? Is that Agatha? Like, you know what? Let's tell Agatha thank you, because she's reminding us that God is about to do something. And that's why you're in this moment where you're rebuking yourself. The rebukes, I understand. Sometimes you'd rather play it safe than to deal with the rebukes of others. Sometimes you just rather play it safe. I understand, but God has called you from the roadside to the road. The next thing that sometimes we'll face when we're trying to get on the road is your obstacles. your obstacles. When we look at verse 46, it says, then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city. The blind man, so he was blind, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. There's two things that I see as obstacles when we read that text. One thing, that he was blind. He couldn't control that. He was blind. Maybe he was born blind, but we believe that he was blind for many years. He was blind. And then the next thing I know is that he was broke because he was begging. He didn't have any resource. It sounds like, you know, when you first have a child, you're blind and you broke. When you first have kids, you don't know what to do. You don't know what's going on. And then they start zapping up all your money with Pampers and for you blind and you're broke. But there's this obstacle. There's these obstacles. There's some obstacles that you can't control. Some things that just happen to you. And these are things that you have to work through to get from the roadside to the road. Like, maybe you didn't have a father in your life, and now you have kids and you have to be a father, but yet you didn't have an example of what that looked like. There's an obstacle. Or maybe there's some things that happened to you while you were young. You were abused, and now you have this emotional obstacle that you're working through. I get it. I understand. Sometimes I'd rather just play it safe and sit by the roadside than to push through this obstacle to make it to the road. I wonder how many years Bartimaeus sat by the roadside. Sat by the roadside thinking, seeing everybody else around. If you're by the roadside, you can see others traveling on the road. He can hear people going from one place to the next, and he's there, stuck there. And I'm sure he mistaken his obstacle for a roadside saying that it was over. Don't miss the opportunities that God has for your life because you're staring at this obstacle that's in front of you. God is calling you to something. The greatest opportunities comes to people that have the greatest obstacles. I think of people like Moses. When you read your Bible and you see Moses actually couldn't speak very well. But God used him to deliver the whole children of Israel out of Egyptian captivity. And he couldn't speak well. Or Abraham and Sarah, who were barren. But God used Abraham and called him the father of many nations. Your obstacle that's in front of you. I think what we do is we spend time focusing on what we can't do, and we forget about everything that we can. Do I have any Stevie Wonder fans? Anybody that loves Stevie Wonder? I mean, songs like "My Cherie Amour," "Pretty Little One That I Adore." You know the song? "You're the Only One My." I don't have no Stevie Wonder fans in here. But we're talking about a blind man. I looked at Motown's museum to get some information about Stevie Wonder. Listen to this expert from the Motown Museum. It says, Stevie Wonder was signed to Motown at the age of 11. A musical genius, Stevie could do it all. He sang, he played multiple instruments, and he wrote music that was often ahead of its time. In fact, a wonder. Throughout his prolific career, he has been rightfully regarded as a musical genius. The 100 million records he sold in 30 top 10 hits, Academy Award for Best Song, and 22 Grammy Awards attest to his talents and skills. I'm talking about a blind man. Bartimaeus could have been remembered as anything. He could have been remembered as Bartimaeus the bootmaker, Bartimaeus the bass player. He could have done anything, but he was so focused on the fact that he was blind. There's so many things that God is calling you to. But I'm telling you today, don't be remembered by your obstacles. Be remembered by how you gave God glory through them and in spite of them. But I get it. I get it. I understand. You'd rather play it safe. You'd rather play it safe than to push through these obstacles and get to the roadside. The next thing that I want to talk about is your actions. your actions. We can see in verse 46, it says, then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. There's two things that he's doing there. He's sitting and he's begging. These are the things that he's doing. It seems like this is natural for him. This is just how it is. These are just the things that he does. This is his actions. You know, sometimes we just do things. That's just because it's how it's always been done. You know, I grew up in a house where my dad did all of the cooking. My dad did all of the cooking, breakfast, lunch, dinner. I mean, could really cook from scratch. I mean, anything you can think of, Southern food. And so when I was young, he actually taught me how to cook. And so what's funny is now I do 99% of the cooking in my house. Now, my wife can cook. She can cook, but I do majority of the cooking in my house. And so, you know, it's just something that I've always seen. It's something that I just do. But growing up, I actually saw my dad. He was a very prideful man. And I could see some of the anger that he would have and how it would leave my house in destruction because of his anger. And some of those things that I saw in the beginning of our marriage, I can remember me having moments where I could look in the mirror and I saw that same anger. But I believe that if I wanted the atmosphere in my home to change, my actions had to change. If you want to do something you've never done, you've got to do something you've never done. If you want to go somewhere you've never been, you got to take steps in a different direction. I mean, your actions have to change. So, you can see in this text when we get to verse 50, we can see what Bartimaeus did. Look at this. It says at verse 50, it says, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. He went from sitting and begging to jumping and throwing. He went from sitting on the bench to being the quarterback and to being the receiver. He changed his actions. What are some of the things that God is calling you to change? Maybe you're wanting this promotion on your job, and I'm telling you today, maybe you just need to start coming to work on time, and your actions need to change. Or maybe you feel lonely. You feel like you don't have any friends. Maybe you start smiling and making. You got to change your actions. You got to change your actions. Or maybe you're a single lady and you're like, God, I would love to have a man. I'd love to get married and change your actions. Maybe, you know, go ahead and get your hair done and put on some makeup, try some new perfume, do something different. And then you'll have them singing Stevie Wonder. Isn't she lovely? Isn't? Y'all know that one, huh? Got to change your actions. I want to take this moment to go ahead and celebrate all of the volunteers of North Church. If you serve in parking, you serve on the worship team. I think we can do better than that for the people that serve to create a place where we can have church. You know, there's some people that put these chairs out for you. There's some people watching your kids. We want to thank all of those volunteers because I applaud you because you're aligning your actions with the things of God. You can be seated. You're aligning your actions. You're submitting them under God's authority. Some days you don't want to get up and park those cars. Some days you're like, it's cold. I'd rather not. But you persevere and say, I'm going to align my actions with the things of God. When you align your actions with the things of God, you accelerate the process to making it to where God wants you to go. Some of you today, it may be a day where you say, you know what, I've been sitting by the roadside too long. Maybe I'll take a step and I'll be a part of North Church and what God is doing here. You got to change your actions. You got to change your actions. People like Matt Moore from North Students, I heard about how he's become like a father figure to so many people in his group. And then online, you follow the Heroes of the Week. There's been a couple that I've seen that are doing some amazing things, like Adrian serving in North Kids. And, and Cameron serving at the host team, creating a place where when people walk in, they feel welcome. God has called you, but you got to change your actions. You got to change your act. But I get it. I understand. Sometimes it's easier to just stay by the roadside. The next one is doubts. Doubts, 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 doubts. I believe that sitting there, he probably, you know, was talking to himself, doubting whether or not anything could ever change, if he could ever get to where God was calling him to. And sometimes I believe we look at doubt and faith as like arch enemies. I see them more like best friends. You know, growing up in high school, I used to drive my mom's Nissan minivan. I didn't have a car. It's a black Nissan minivan. And I was cool. I mean, I still was cool and had swag in my Nissan minivan. And I was the friend that people would call and say, hey, could you help me today? Could you drive me to work? And I say, definitely. You give me $5 for gas money, I got you. And we'll do it. But friends will drive you somewhere. I believe that doubt should drive you to faith, not deter you from it. Sometimes we let doubt drive us away. But no, they're friends. Don't see them as opposites. It should drive you there. I have some really good friends of mine, Autumn and Jay. I married them this year and back in May. And amazing couple. And when I married them, we played a blessing over their lives. They both were excited. They wanted to have kids right away. And a couple months later, we get the call that they were pregnant. And we're celebrating. We're excited, gearing up for it. And then a couple weeks later, she starts to hear that the hormone levels start to drop. And what that meant was that she was on the road to having a miscarriage. And we spent time praying and believing God, but eventually she lost this baby. Sometimes your experience and the things that's happened, you tried to do some things, and because it didn't work out the way you wanted them to, you let doubt creep in and keep you from going where God called you to go. You know, doubt will creep in and make you say no to things that Jesus has told you yes to. But the steps of a good man are ordered by God. I know this situation doesn't feel good right now. I know I have a little doubt, but God, I'm going to let it drive me to faith because I know you've ordained this moment. Satan can't order your steps, but he can use doubt to keep you from taking one. God's calling you somewhere. It has to drive you to faith. You know, maybe the blind man saw something that we didn't see. When you look at verse 47, listen to this. It says, when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I don't know if you saw that. He heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, but he began to shout, Jesus, talk to me, Son of David. Why would he shout something different than what he heard? Maybe he saw something that we didn't see. You see, Jesus, Son of Nazareth, speaks to the prophet Jesus, the preacher Jesus, this preacher that was born in Bethlehem. But Jesus, Son of David, it speaks about the prophecy that there would be a king that would reign forever, that would come out of the house of David, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that this was commonly used after Jesus was risen from the dead. The blind man was speaking this before he even got there. Maybe he saw something we didn't see. This is a different kind of faith. This is a different kind of faith. But I understand, I understand, I understand. You know, sometimes your doubt will keep you by the roadside. It's easy. I'll just play it safe. I'll just play it safe. When you see Jesus as he saw Jesus, it shifts some things because you see him in power. You see him in authority. You see him differently. Jesus, Son of David. For many years, Bartimaeus sat by the roadside. And he'd rather play it safe than to go through the rebukes. He'd rather play it safe than to go through the obstacles. He'd rather play it safe than to change his actions. He'd rather play it safe than to push through doubt. But the problem with Bartimaeus The problem with Bartimaeus, why he couldn't stay there, is because he still could hear. The Bible says when he heard that it was Jesus, that's when he started to go from the roadside to the road. You see, he couldn't play it safe anymore when he heard the sound of Jesus. He couldn't play it safe anymore. He couldn't play it safe anymore when he heard the sound. Throw up my last slide. You see, sometimes the road will keep you by the roadside. Sometimes the road will keep you by the roadside. It'll keep you from going to where God has called you to go. But the awesome thing about the story is when we get to verse 51 and 52, you can see this. It says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." And I thought the next thing that he would say was, here, have your sight, see. But the next thing that he said was, go. Jesus said, go. Jesus said, go. Maybe that was the sound that you needed to hear was go. This morning, go. Go be the best mom that God has called you to be. Go be the best dad God has called you to be. Go. Go be the best student that God, go. And then it says, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the Maybe the sound you needed to hear today was go. Maybe the sound you needed to hear was go. If I could have everybody stand. You see, Jesus was in heaven, in a very comfortable place. And his father told him to go because sin had separated us from him. And he said, go, Jesus, because I need you to travel a road where you would be rebuked, where you would have obstacles, where you would have so much pain. But at the end of this road, I promise you, I'll guarantee you that you will rise again and you will be safe and sound. But it wasn't just for Jesus to be safe and sound. He did it so that we would be safe and sound at the end of our journey. No matter where God is calling us, he followed Jesus along the road. You'll be safe and sound. I promise you today. Maybe today is the day where you make a decision that you're going to get on this road. Everybody would bow your heads and close your eyes. There's some people who have not accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, and I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. To give him your life. To know that he wants to walk this road with you, that he'll be with you wherever you go. And we're going to say this prayer together as a church family for the benefit of those saying it for the first time. Repeat after me. Say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on a cross and rose from the grave to forgive me of my sins. So I give you my sins. I give you my shame, and I'll follow you for the rest of my days. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if you just made that decision to give your life to him, or you're making a decision to come back to Christ, I'm going to count to three, and I just want you to shoot your hands up. One, two, three. Come on, church. Come on, church. I see a couple hands going up in this place. Heaven's rejoicing. Give God a praise. That's like your brother. That's your sister making a decision to put Christ first in their lives. I'd like to say just one more prayer. There's some people that have been on the roadside way too long. And you've been afraid that into stepping into the places that God has called you to. I just want to pray for you that you'd have strength to persevere. God, I come to you saying thank you for your people. You know their hearts. You know the places, the dreams, the places that you're calling them to. Right now, I just pray that you would move on their behalf, move in their hearts, give them the passion for you to persevere through whatever obstacles are in front of them, that they'd realize that you're going to be with them on the road. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Thank God. Amen.